Hello, welcome to Star Wars Spelt Out. I'm your host, Josh Chapman, and today, returning classic guest. So much so, I'll talk about how classic in a second, but let's just get her on. It's Minnesota's greatest podcaster herself, Jess Schrader. Hello.
Hi. Hello and salutations.
Hello and salutations to you, my friend, and happy birthday. I know it was your birthday the other day. 21 today. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm in a new decade now, so
anything can
manifesting
happen.
Good things.
It's we won't, you know, you don't have to talk numbers and stuff, but it's always nice to hit those milestone ones, isn't it? You know, look back, I've done some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like each decade I've gotten progressively wiser and feel more confident. So if that trend continues, then I am A-okay with the new number.
Upward trajectory. It's all an upward trajectory.
Yes.
So I was, I had Matt Moll on last week, and I was saying that I had basically moved the podcast hosting to another thing, and I'd lost like the first 100 episodes. Like they didn't migrate. So all of a sudden those those first 100 episodes were gone. So I did a bit of research, and it turned out that I could reload them, but I have to basically go through individually, reload them up, set the date for what they were, and they'll go back into the timeline. So luckily I'd kept all the show notes and I had all the, you know, the dates and everything. So it was, you know, I'm going, all right, this is going to take time, but I can do it. It's doable. And I just sort of just went through this, you know, I was going back. And you came out, you've done, I think, 5 or 6 episodes of this podcast now. You popped up quite a lot.
I mean, is that a lot compared to others, do you think?
Oh, look, I think compared to someone like Catherine, I think Catherine's still miles ahead. But, yeah, you know, she's been on all the review shows. She's local in Melbourne as well, and she's always very good, you know, if something comes up, just to go, Catherine, you know, what are you up to? You know, and same time zone helps as well, that you can, you know, yeah, if there's something drops that evening or whatever. And she's always great for that. She's always up for it. But as far as international guests, I think you'd be close to the record international guest that we've had on here. And it doesn't feel like you're on all the time. It feels like it's been forever.
Yeah, I mean, I had to, I'm like, now where did I put that microphone and headset? It's been a while. I was getting all the, as you were reloading, it would, you know, pop up on my phone, like Star Wars spelled out this episode, that episode. And at first I wasn't paying attention to the numbers. And I was like, what does Josh need me for? He's like pumping out the episodes. So I'm like, I don't want to have to go after. I'm like, who, like Eric Struthers? Like, why did he just, and then like I realized like something must be going on. And then I saw in the Discord that you were reloading old episodes, and it.
Oh, so sense. It was actually saying that your name was that the new episode was coming up, was it?
Well, I didn't see mine, but like every
New ones
like
were coming.
2 hours, I would get like a notification that there I had a new podcast episode.
I didn't have those notifications on myself, but they are going back in time. Luckily, at least, so it's not like it's this week. So that if you scroll backwards and go, you know, back to episode whatever 94 that you're on or whatever, that's just so you are in the correct timeline at least. So. Okay. Yeah, so I was like, oh wow, yeah, she's been on quite a lot, and also you are on a few of the celebration ones as well, when I didn't mm-hmm. count those. And obviously the last time that we saw each other was in London, so we actually hung out for real life in London over a year ago now.
Yeah,
it feels doesn't feel that long ago.
Like yesterday and forever ago at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was quite weird because we did the celebration week, and then the whole, I think you were the same. I think you might have even come before celebration. I had a whole week of traveling and doing other stuff afterwards. I like got engaged after celebration and all sorts of things. So, that was really good. I feel like we just picked up where we left off. I don't know about you. Did you feel trepidation going back into celebration again? You're like, I've done this. I can just walk in.
Well, I feel like after recent discussion with other folks that we run into at Celebration a lot, and kind of just learning that everyone is feeling the same like butterflies that I feel when I go, and I'm like, I feel sometimes socially awkward, or I just get nervous in general that I'm going to say the wrong thing or that I won't have anything to say at all. And then learning that so many of our Star Wars friends, who I think of in the highest esteem and think they're the best conversationalists and like so outgoing, and learning that they were all feeling that same way was kind of a little mind blowing, eye opening, and like almost not that I want people to feel that way because it's not a good feeling usually, but it like was really comforting, I guess, to learn that, you know, we're all kind of feeling that. And I think knowing that going into the next celebration, whether it's Tokyo or what wherever it comes after that, I feel, I hope that I'll go in a lot more comfortable and ready to just be natural and, you know.
Yeah, I don't, I'll tell you a little secret, Jess, you may or may not. I don't have those anxieties. I'm very lucky. And I have an appreciation for them, absolutely, and I'm and probably even more so because I just never, it's not something that I really thought about because I've been quite, you know, lucky to be able to adapt to social situations pretty well. You know, I moved to Melbourne at university and went to university, didn't know anybody and made friends, moved to London, didn't know anybody, made friends, and I've been quite lucky to be able to do that. But I've also gotten a real appreciation for it probably the longer I've gone, and probably through a lot of this as well. And, you know, people share how they feel and stuff. And, you know, but you also have to walk the line of the way you approach people and you talk to people and understand that some people might, you know, have anxieties and issues and stuff. But at the same time, I think it's sort of, if you be yourself, like I think in my case, I think people like that I can make them feel comfortable and sometimes, you know, and I, you know, I feel like that I'm approachable and stuff, I guess. But yeah, at the same time, it's nice. It's comforting to know that people get out of their comfort zones and do the bravery, how brave it is to get on a plane, go to some place you don't know many people. All you've got in common is some silly space movies. but it's great. And that's the beauty of celebration, really. So let's talk Tokyo. Where are we at?
We are a little less certain than I was at one point because the last 2 years, my son's spring break has fallen on, well, just this past week. And while we were in London, it was that week. So that sort of week that celebration was in London, and then also when Tokyo is to happen. So I thought, well, naturally in 2025, the spring break will be the same days or week. So we could work it where I, you know, either probably go the week before and then end with celebration. And he wouldn't have to miss much school. Well, then the new school calendar came out, and for whatever reason, they pushed their spring break back like 3 weeks. So now it's the first week of April. So if I were to bring him, which I would really like to if I go, I'd have to pull him out of school for like a week and a half. And
what an education, though. Come on.
Now,
like, cultural immersion, all that sort of stuff.
I know. I just get anxious about him missing something, and then he gets back and he doesn't know what's happening. And then these are the sorts of thoughts that make me spiral. So
how would, that's your oldest boy, I assume.
Yes.
How's he going for the Japanese food, you reckon? Is he quite good palate wise? Oh my gosh.
He is the least adventurous eater of all time. We probably have to go to 7-Eleven and find all of his meals. I don't know. I've tried. I don't know where I went wrong, but he's very much like a peanut butter and jelly, spaghetti, taco, pizza.
Oh wow! Yes, we're planning on taking the girls to Japan. We've talked about taking them, and it's a little bit easier from Australia. Same time zone, obviously, for one. And we talked about going for a trip and taking them to Japan anyway, so it's kind of working out well. They'll be a little bit older, and Kat's coming as well. But yeah, they're my kids are the opposite. They eat pretty much anything. They're pretty adventurous eaters. We should be okay. But the thing is, Japan, you can get, if they just want hamburgers, you can get hamburgers. If you want spaghetti, you can get spaghetti. You can get these things quite easily. I have been to Tokyo. It's not like you'll be there trying to force feed him some octopus or something, and that's all that, it's, come on, you gotta eat your octopus, that's all we've got. You can get other stuff, it's okay. So you'll be all right.
Will you go to, is this Tokyo Disneyland on the docket then?
If you're maybe it, we'll probably do a week before. It goes right over school holidays in Australia, so that does help. But it also makes it obviously more expensive because it's going to be school holidays. We'll see. I'd like to, having done Disney at Anaheim, I'm kind of almost less inclined just because it's such a mission and there's so much to do. And if they do the Disney Nights thing that they did at Anaheim, I would probably be more amenable because I'm going, all right, well, tonight we're just going to go. We're going to stay up all night, but you're going to get to go on everything. There's no lines. You can ride everything and go crazy. If we're just going to be there for a day and it's just standard Tokyo Disney lines and we're queuing all day to go on three things, I don't know whether it's worth the trouble. I don't think we'd do sure like a resort. I know you're sort of a Disney expert. You've kind of got the work that's involved,
Disney World, yes. I did so much research before our trip. And now I feel like for Disney World, I'm an expert at this point, because I still, since we've been back, I still am on all the Facebook groups and I still get all the targeted reels on Instagram and follow all the people. That's hopefully the plan. But I'm sure Disneyland Tokyo is a whole other beast, but I'm sure with just a little research, and I do think that they have, I have watched a few YouTubes. I think they have like a fast pass system. It's different, but they have one. So hopefully when
it's queue. We would have to be like, all right, that's the thing. Like if you go all that way, you've got to just spend and just go, all right, just accept that it's going to be expensive. But there's also maybe we do the Mario thing. We'll just have to see. We'll see. I mean, when I went, Kat and I went in 2013 and was just no kids. So it was just eating and drinking and cruising around the city and doing all that stuff. So it'll be different with the kids. But I'll get my ticket next week. I'll have it.
I like your confidence.
Well, I'll do my best to get this ticket. It's such an unknown, though. That's the thing. I'm like, all the Asia Pacific, Japan, and all the countries, they're just going to swoop in because they haven't had one.
That's sort of where I'm leaving it, where I am going to try and get tickets. That way, the option is still open.
Yep.
And then I can think on it some more. But I feel like if I don't get tickets, and I'm sure they're, I could still, that doesn't mean I couldn't down the road.
Yep.
But I feel like if for whatever reason I try and I fail, I might take that as a sign of this is the universe telling me, wait until the next one, I guess.
But the thing is, if they do, there's no guarantees, but it feels like they'll be due for one in the States after, whether it's the year after or I feel like it'll be a year after if they're doing a movie then. The demand will just be crazy because it's just been years since they've done it. The Americans will be just dying to do it again. So
yeah, maybe that'll be the ticket that's hard to get.
Yeah, it could be. They're all harder now. I think Chicago was the only one where we sort of rolled in and got a ticket without too much trouble. It feels like the last few have been really tricky, but we've always kind of got them. And at least this year, the day passes are pretty much the same as a three-day pass. Like London was really bad. Like London was way more expensive to buy the three individual if you couldn't get the four-day pass or the four tickets to the four-day pass. And I think this year it's like $8 difference or something. Like it's really less. It doesn't really make that much difference, which kind of helps. So we'll see. Yep. I don't have it till it's over, but I appreciate it. It's a mission, no matter which way you look at it. But Yeah, I'm looking forward. I'd love to go back to Japan. So,
Yeah, my son, I'm sure, would be just obsessed with
well, you
Tokyo.
know,
I mean,
start easing him in.
that's
What's the where's the Japanese restaurant situation in Minnesota like? Can you get some decent Japanese food in Minnesota?
I made chicken, potatoes, and like zucchini and green beans for dinner tonight, and he wanted, and I'm not one of, I'm, and it's, if parents out there are like this, more power to you, but I'm not the parent that's like, eat what's on your plate, or I don't know, we've always just catered to their pickiness, which is probably
Yeah, you got to
causing
get
the
in early.
problem. So I'm like, do you want to try potatoes or chicken? And he's like, no. I'm like, cool. I guess I'll make you peanut butter and jelly. It's just so the other one, the younger one, is more, he will try new things.
Yep.
I'm waiting for the older one to just
Just for the pen to
decide that
drop.
he's sick of the same five or six things and he's ready to expand his horizons, but that has yet to happen.
Travel's a really good, thing for that. My cat's brother was a really picky eater growing up, and when he started traveling, it just sort of, although he was in his mid-20s by then. So it's, he wasn't sort of, 10 or 11 or however your son is. But yeah, look, picky. Like I said, our girls are good. They'll like my daughter eat like chicken feet at a Chinese restaurant, and she'll just like, yep, I'll eat that. I'm down. So hopefully it'll be. Although when we went to Japan in 2013, by about day 5 or 6, we just went to McDonald's and ordered like a huge thing of fries because we'd had so much fish. We're like, we need some starch. We need something salty. It's just, I can't eat any more raw fish. I've just been eating it for
Okay,
days.
he will eat McDonald's. So if they have those
Yeah,
there,
yep. They've got McDonald's. Worst case scenario, you've got McDonald's. They've got KFC. They've got all that stuff. You can get all those things. You'll be fine. So, Star Wars. Acolyte drops soon. Are you feeling the hype? Are you like ready to go? Is this like your kind of Star Wars?
yes. I'm very excited. I remember I was in, I don't remember the name of the panel, but the big one
Oh, you
where
got into
they
the
showed
Lucasfilm
you.
panel, didn't you?
Yes. And
Must be nice.
that was awesome. And they showed us the trailer of, they showed us the Acolyte trailer. I'm trying to remember. I think it was a bit different than the one that's out for the general public now. But as soon as they showed it, I knew, I'm like, this is
My bag.
gonna be, this is it. Like, I think this is hopefully gonna be my next big thing that really pulls me back in. Since The Mandalorian, there really hasn't been anything that I've been too excited about. I mean, I watched it all, but I mean, I that's a lie. I'm not current on the Bad Batch, but nothing has really gotten me as excited since the first season of The Mandalorian, so I'm hoping, I have high hopes that this is it.
They
This
see
is
you in
it.
Tokyo and you're in the full gear. You've got the
Yes.
High
I'm
Republic robes
cosplaying
going
a
and
character from The Acolyte. Yes.
yep. Excellent. I love that. That yeah. It's just ripe for I just love the fact that there's not much known about it. It's a whole new era, it's a whole new story. The Leslie Hanlon's made really great TV. It's got a great cast. Like the sky's the limit. Like let's go for it. Are you like doing a watch party? You're just gonna like get just in the lounge room by yourself, lights off, leave me alone, or invite some people, or how you gonna roll it?
I'll probably wait until the evening that it comes out and have my oldest son for sure watch with me. Actually, my husband said, because I told him how excited I was for this, and I showed him the trailer, and he said he would watch it too. He sort of does this thing where he has declared for the last few years that he will not watch TV anymore, which can be
It's, he's, he's a he's
frustrating.
a real man. Your husband, he's out there chopping trees or
But no,
carving a
like he
canoe
makes
or something like that. He's a man's man.
He's watching Fallout right now with our oldest son. They're watching
Oh,
that
your
Fallout
son's
series.
watching Fallout?
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're watching
Older.
it. We're watching it and really enjoying it, but like it's so gory and there's a big few moments where Kat's just like, I'm going, oh my God.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, our barometer has become that he plays Call of Duty, so it's sort of like,
Oh
okay,
wow.
he sees he's already seen all of this, and it doesn't.
I wonder he won't eat his vegetables if he's
It doesn't seem to bother him.
Oh my god!
Obviously, within 10 minutes, because we all started watching it. I didn't really know much about it. And within 10 minutes, the younger one was like, I don't want to do this. I'm like, yeah, and you shouldn't know what to go. So he's tapped out.
My kids might even, my daughter goes, oh, this Bluey episode's a little bit too intense. I'm just going to leave the room for a minute and come back when I know that they're like, oh my God.
I think they're on episode, I don't know, 5 or something.
Wow.
And I'll pop in here and there and ask, because it's probably the sort of show that I would love if I...
That's good.
Saddened, but I wanted to go hang out with the younger one when it was obviously
getting out.
Too intense for him. So I'm behind now. But so all that to say, he says he won't watch TV, but he will make an exception. He said he will make an exception for this. So I think we'll probably, the day it comes out, hopefully we won't be busy with something, sports, mm-hmm. and we can all sit down and watch it together that night. And hopefully... it blows us away and we want to all keep watching.
You got a family thing to watch together.
Yes.
With a few less exploding heads. Yeah. So you were in the you were in the panel when Daisy Ridley came out then.
I was I think I started probably cried a little bit. I love her so much. I love the character of Rey. Since I haven't loved a character like that since Luke Skywalker. So they're like my top two, and I just think she's the best. And the fact that they're hopefully, I think everything's still on track.
Hope so,
but you never know.
Well, at least it's been it's planned. Maybe it'll be like we don't know. We know it's her. We don't know if anybody else is in it yet. Basically,
right.
Maybe they'll do
I'm just referring to all of the other projects that have gotten.
Yeah. Like until we're actually in that cinema, unless they did like a Taylor Swift secret drop. Well, they did like a, you go see the Rey movie, it's 2027 and the Rey movie comes out, and you go and you see the Rey movie. And all of a sudden Kathy Kennedy tweets, she's like, surprise, there's another movie. It's coming out. In 2 hours, you can go back to the cinema and you can watch the Poe Dameron movie. It's just come out. It's the tortured Poe Dameron department. There's more.
He could do a broody vibe. He could be a tortured poet for sure.
The tortured Poe Dameron department. Well, we know what we're calling the episode now. Yeah. you thought you had one thing, now you got two. He is quite brooding. He could do that. Do you like the secret drop? As far like we'll pivot onto the Taylor Swift. Obviously, you're a big Taylor fan. The album comes out. Did you listen to it? And then all of a sudden, there's like twice as much Taylor, or you hadn't quite got to it.
I've always liked Taylor Swift, but just in the last year, so 2023, is when I became what the kids call a Swiftie. So.
Not just the kids. We had Taylor Mania right. in Melbourne for about a week when she did 3 gigs in the 100,000 seater stadium here. So yeah, you couldn't get it.
Yeah,
you couldn't sell your children to get a ticket to Taylor Swift.
I think they had. I don't know if I saw it on now because I've consumed so much Taylor content. I don't know if it was on like Good Morning America, but they did a lot of interviewing people for those Sydney concerts and talking about how much money they spent to get there.
Well, the Melbourne ones, which was at the Melbourne Cricket Ground, which is like our big stadium seats, 100,000
people. Maybe that
people.
Was the one.
Yeah, but the funny, the crazy thing about that was that, they showed the aerial shot, because it's Australian stadiums are usually round because we play cricket, Australian rules football. They're not like, American football. So they're wider, basically. They're more, the circumference is longer. So the seating area was huge. And so doing these aerial shots of the Melbourne Cricket Ground, completely full with all these people. And the crazy thing was that all these Americans are going, where's the car park? Because the Melbourne Cricket Ground's like right in the city next to the train station. So nobody drives. And they're going, oh, how do you get there? It's like, you take the train or the tram or you walk. Nobody who parks their car? That's crazy. It's right in the middle of the city. but yeah, we did. We hit Taylor Mania for quite a while. Did you get to one of the gigs? Did you get to one of her shows?
I did not. And they did have one in Minneapolis. She was in Minneapolis. My neighbor went. I did not. So I was, I arrived late to Swiftyville. So
by the time the train had left and you were just running after the, hey, by the room time for I one more?
Yeah, everything was sold out unless you wanted to sell a kidney. So all of that, like, to say, when Torture Poets Department came out, it was like the first time for me in my Swifty career that I, you know, woke up and right away I'm pulling up the album. Like, I didn't get up at midnight to listen. I'm not that hardcore, but it was the first thing I did. Went on Apple Music, pulled it up, and I don't think I realized until I went on, I'm listening to all the song, like, going in order, and then I, like, how did God I find damn, out it was a double album? End. I think I sucked, so I was getting, like, the Twitter or X, whatever, notifications of people tweeting about it, and then I was seeing all this double album stuff, like, well, where do you get the other one? And then I went back and looked, and it said anthology, and, like, okay, that one is 31 songs, so that's the double album. Whew. And I just sat and tried to listen. I think I got through the first 19 before I had to go to work, and then I've finished it since, and yeah, it's kind of just been on repeat for the last 5 days now.
15 is a lot.
I've got my short list of favorites.
15 is a lot on an album. You know, like, 15 songs, look at an album, you're like, damn, 15 songs, that's a lot on an album. 31, like, I just remember when I was a teenager, it was the Smashing Pumpkins double album, was like, that was like the melancholy and the infinite sadness. And I got that when I turned 17 as a present. And that was like two discs. And even that, I've gone, this is too much Smashing Pumpkins. There's so much stuff on this record. But I guess now you can just put it up on Spotify. You don't have to necessarily shift the thing. But I mean, what's the longest Star Wars movie you think you'd be able to sit through? Do you think you'd be able to sit through like a 3-hour, like, Lord of the Rings style length Star Wars movie? Or do you think you'd start going, this is a bit much?
Well, I'm sort of, in my now older age, I've started to
21, like, can you're we normalize, 21, Jess. What are you talking
about? Normalize the 2-hour movie? Like, can we bring the 2-hour movie back? Man. Why does every movie have to be, like, pushing 3 hours now? But I think for something like Star Wars, obviously, yes, I think. But I got to say, 3 hours would have to be my max.
That's a long time.
Unless I'm signing up for, like, the marathon where I'm watching.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you going to do...
I know what I'm getting into.
Are
I'm
they showing marathons near you for May the 4th? Or
Phantom Menace? No, they're just... It's just the Phantom Menace. It's not a marathon.
You're going to hop down?
I don't know. I don't know. Part of
it's
me
not
is
the
like,
one that boils the potato, so to speak. It's not the.
I even mentioned it to my older son who likes Star Wars. Like, should we go see the Phantom Menace on the big screen? And he was like, we don't like that one. but it's Star Wars on the big screen.
Well established in this household, Mum, that the Phantom Menace is not the priority of the films here. My oldest hasn't seen Return of the Jedi yet. She's seen the Empire and Star Wars. And I'm hoping to take her to see Jedi when they do, because they're doing re-releases as well in Melbourne. And I think some of the cinemas are doing other. I'm hoping they're not tied to a marathon. I've got to double check because I don't want to have to just roll in for Return of the Jedi and pay for two other movies. And if she goes to that, we might try and do Phantom Menace. And I think I'll take my youngest daughter to Phantom Menace. And she's only 5, but I think she'll be okay. That'll be her first Star Wars movie, will be Phantom Menace. So we'll see how we go.
I think that's one way to start, episode 1.
Yeah, well, that, you know, one's doing the machete order or release order, or they call it, or the something other order. But I think we'll try and do it. But it'll all depend on, you know what it's like with kids. It's almost like, what are you doing on that day, on that weekend? Is something on? Are we doing nothing? Have we got nothing on? All right, we'll duck down and we'll take care of it. But where did you see Phantom Menace? Do you remember where you were when you saw Phantom Menace? Do you go by midnight?
I don't think so. I would have been like 15 or 16, I think. I think I just saw it normal theater. I don't remember if I went to a special release or anything, but I remember being really confused because I was like, I thought, like, so Queen Amidala is his love interest, right? But he's just like a baby.
Is this gonna get weird?
And then I was, for whatever reason, I don't know if I didn't watch the trailer, but I was expecting, I just remember being bewildered that they started with Anakin so young.
It is a little bit strange, isn't it? Really? I think I read somewhere that George was like, oh, look, it's more, if we made him a bit younger at 10, it's a bit more devastating that he leaves his mum, rather than being like, if he's 15, he's like, yeah, whatever, man, you know, I'm out the door, which I can kind of understand. And if he was a bit bigger, he'd probably just punch Watto in the nose or something as well, like he's given all the crap that he's dealt with. But it is a bit weird. Is that like one of the biggest age, like female to male age gaps in a mainstream movie as far as romance goes? Like, it's all, you know, it's always like older guy, younger girl. Like, there's plenty of that.
Right.
But as far as
probably not ever, but certainly
not, maybe not ever, from
starting at that age, as where he's like, what, 9 10. And she's 16, 17? I don't, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. The Star Wars experts out there are yelling the age gap right now.
I think it's 10 and 15 or 10 and 16.
And at one point I knew. No, I think she was...
But only one of them's gone through puberty, scary. So, you know. Okay.
Yeah. And then the other thing I remember, and to this day I can't get over it for some reason, is the scene where he's walking away from his mother. He's going with Qui-Gon, and he has, like, a modern-day backpack on. Like, it's a backpack that they, like, bought at Target. And, like, here's
it's got Paw Patrol on the back of it or something.
As you leave your mother. I'm like, why does he have a backpack from, like, Earth? It took me out of it. And I, to this day, every time I see that scene, I'm just like, I don't understand.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to look for that now. So if I do go Phantom Menace, I mean, I'll have to replay this. I never really thought about that. Yeah. I'll be curious to see what.
And I don't want to trash the prequels. I know they have their place.
You'll be the first to do it. Yeah.
No, Clone Wars really helped me come around to the prequels, because I really grew to love Anakin and Obi-Wan and their relationship through the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like I've gone back full circle, where there are a lot of things now that I can pull from it that I like. It's never going to be the trilogy that is my go-to. Like, yep. If I'm like, I want to watch the Star Wars right now, it's not ever going to be those.
No, well, it's, you don't have to like, something's got to sit further down. In order to like what you like, something's got to sit further down. I'll be curious, if I do take my kids, I'll be curious to see what they think of Jar Jar, whether they just like think he's great. Because I never, you know, like when it came out, I didn't mind a lot of it. I certainly like the performance, and there's bits in it that I do like. Certainly as I get older, I have no problem with them whatsoever. You know, with the time when I saw it and I was, 19 or 20 or whatever, you're a bit more like, oh, that was kind of silly. But at the time it was always, oh, it's for the kids. You know, it's bringing the kids in. But, you know, it's all about the kids. And obviously didn't have kids then, and now I do. So they're prime Jar Jar age. So they'll never be at a more, you know, amenable time for Jar Jar than now. So I'll be quite curious to get them to watch Phantom Menace to actually see what their reaction is, and whether they go, this is dumb, or whether they're just like, ah, look at him, he's like, you know, if they buy in.
Yeah, well, it's all for the kids, but we're going to throw in this politics that, like, to this day I don't understand.
I didn't even think of that. Oh, my God.
That might be the toilet time.
Like, I get that there's a larger story at play, but yeah.
I need someone who loves the prequels to explain it to me like I'm 5. Because I try, and I think at one point I understood it, the separatists and the whatever.
Yeah, it's basically Palpatine is trying to remove, Palpatine's, you know, created this trade blockade in order to have a no vote on the Chancellor, so he can vacate the Chancellor spot and become the Chancellor. So that's his plan, is basically. I don't know why he needs the invasion, and the war doesn't even seem to make any difference, because the no confidence vote goes in regardless. So he's using Amidala to go there. You're and
losing
say, me. I've lost you already. I'm like, I've got to rewatch this movie.
We need to sit down.
I get to get some of the figures and go like, yeah.
We're going to bore everyone. But
yeah.
Let's have this conversation either in Tokyo or whatever comes after.
After a few sakis and a round of karaoke.
Explain it to me until it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. How's your karaoke the skills? If you get to Tokyo, how's your karaoke skills?
Terrible. I mean, listen to my speaking voice and then I hate my voice. The singing voice is even worse. It's all right, really
you
bad.
You just need a few asahis or something to
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, put enough of that in me and I'll give it the old college try. My kids love Jar Jar the first time we watched the prequel. So I'm sure, or hopefully your daughters will have the same experience. And okay. that made me appreciate the prequels more too, watching it with my kids the first time.
Yep.
And I guess they just let the politics
like sort of wash over them.
Gloss over, which I mean, I do the same thing. and yeah, they loved all that wacky stuff.
Yeah. Oh, look, they're prime. They'll never be more into it. And my youngest has never seen a Star Wars movie. She likes the Jedi Adventures cartoon, which is like the kids one that's on Disney Plus. So she seeks that out without any, you know, going, hey, you know, we should watch this. Like if she gets control of the remote, she looks for it and she watches it. So she's got a general understanding of that there's, you know, and there's Star Wars crap in the house as well, especially in the study, you know, I've got all this stuff. So they're sort of aware of it. But yeah, this will be the perfect time to do Phantom Menace. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm hoping that Acolyte is fantastic, and maybe I'm putting too much pressure on it. But
no, I don't do that. But
it's been so long since you had movies, so I'm just kind of, you know, yeah. When you're talking about going to see when you're talking about, oh, well, go watch the re-release of this, or we'll go watch the re-release of that. It doesn't make you realize that it was 2019. It's been 5 years since we've had a new movie now.
So here's my one, I guess, I mean, it's not going to break my heart if it's not in it. But one thing I thought might be neat for them to have in the Acolyte, because one thing that obviously will be awesome will be that we hope that they don't need to pull everything in. We're not expecting cameos.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a whole different timeline. But I thought, like, what if they, since it's so Jedi heavy, introduce the idea of a dyad, or they have have characters that are a dyad, because, you know, when they introduced that in The Rise of Skywalker, it was something, as far as I know, maybe, and I'm not a completist, so I don't read the comics or I haven't read every book. As far as I know, it hadn't been mentioned before. And it sort of felt like one of those things they shoehorned in to explain this.
Absolutely.
This thing that they.
There's a lot of shoehorning going on in The Rise of Skywalker.
There's a lot of shoehorning in The Rise of Skywalker. But I was like, maybe that's one way, you know, they could introduce or show us another example of a dyad, kind of like explore that more.
I mean, what they've sort of done in the 5 years post Rise of Skywalker is furious backpedaling. So a lot of the comics and the Bad Batch and even the Mandalorian have all got, you know, leading up to trying to make that make more sense with like Palpatine coming back and the cloning and the blah, 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 blah. So it's completely reasonable that they would try to make other concepts, give them more weight by putting them into the Acolyte. I never even thought about the sort of, I don't really know enough about what these Jedi are up to in the Acolyte. Like, are they allowed to have like boyfriends and stuff? And are they, are they a little bit more sort of lax? Not lax, but you know, they're a little bit more. The rules are a little bit different,
right? Because they don't have the Sith yet, right? So they wouldn't have. They might not have that rule because they don't want. The reason they have it in the original trilogy and the prequels is they don't want Jedi to have attachments, because then, well, I suppose the same rule could apply even without, because with an attachment you might be easier prey to follow the dark side.
Yeah, but I feel like
another
that rule existed for a reason. So I kind of like the idea that maybe this is the reason why they've got these crappy rules. Like whatever happens in the Acolyte, that basically at the end of the Acolyte, something's gone wrong. That's why the Jedi have all these rules, which basically, you know, becomes their undoing, that they kind of become a bunch of tight asses and whatever. So maybe before that, they had a lot more freedom and they're a little bit, you know, they're a little more loosey-goosey with that sort of stuff. And it all worked fine for a while. Yeah, maybe so Jedi, then something, Jedi, somebody came
in. Jedi are more likely to produce a Force-sensitive child. I don't know.
And that's right. So then something's happened where someone's taken advantage of the rules and kind of ruined it for everyone. Then like, all right, that's it. No attachments, no nothing. Like, that's all done. Get rid of your girlfriends. Go break up with them. whatever. I don't know how it works. however it goes.
It could be, I mean, like the concept of the Night Watch. The Night Watch? So it's from Game of Thrones, was they couldn't have wives because, what was the quote? Something like, I'm going to screw it up, but I think the idea was putting yourself in a position where you would have to sacrifice one for the many, or many for the one, and having to make that choice.
Yeah, yeah. And you can be compromised as well, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was always like, but the wall, wasn't the wall and the what? Wasn't it like all the worst people got sent there? It was basically like, well, you can go to jail or we'll send you to the wall.
At the beginning, it was meant to be an honor. And then at some point, it just, once they realized it was kind of
nothing's
like a
going
really
on up there.
Deal, they're like, well, we'll just send someone else there because no one wants to go there
send
anymore.
Send all the weirdos, losers, deadbeats up to the wall. And then Jon Snow just gets to go as well. He's like, oh, thanks.
Well, he went by choice, didn't he? Yeah, he like begged Benjen Stark to bring him there. And then they finally agreed.
I'd have to double check. Have you read the books as well, or you just done the show?
I've read the books too.
When is that book coming out? Is that ever coming out?
It's not. It's not. It's never coming out.
Maybe he's going to do a Taylor drop. Maybe he's going to do the book and then he'll go, hey, here's the book and here's the next book. I've actually just banked the two of them.
No, I don't think it's ever going to happen. I think what, I don't know. I guess doesn't seem nice to say such a thing, but the only way we're getting the book is if he, I think, passes on.
And somebody finishes it.
And then they hire someone to finish it.
Oh my goodness.
Because I don't think he cares anymore. I think he's kind of made that clear.
You know, especially, I guess, if like the story's been done in another medium, even if it's not exactly the same or what he thought, he's like, well, you kind of can look to that if you really want an ending.
Yeah,
I don't need to trouble myself to. I've got other things to do. Like, I'm rich. I got rich in my 70s. I was just a writer. I was probably doing all right for a long time, and then all of a sudden, I got mega rich. At the end, he's like, there's only so much time. I want to go jet skiing and do other things and spend my money. I don't want to be holed up at home writing a book.
Yeah. I think, when the show was coming out, he was committed to getting the books out, keeping the books ahead of the show. And then I think once that wasn't going to happen anymore, he just, I don't know. And I just don't think, based on some interviews, I don't think he's not passionate about it anymore, so I don't think he wants to do it. And the ship has obviously kind of sailed at this point.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? It'd be quite funny, like in the Star Wars sense, if George Lucas had gotten... I guess he kind of did... No, I don't know if he did. No, because he kind of came back, didn't he? So, yeah, because originally he sort of said, oh, you know, there's a whole plan for like 9 movies, and then he said, oh, that's 6 movies, and then Monday I might do the other one. So I think he sort of fluctuated on what he wanted to do and then obviously sold the company and stuff, so... I mean, that's the thing about it. Like, George is still around. He was the keeper of the story, and then he basically sold it off, and then he just watches these other people do a story while he looks on and has no input anymore.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that would be, I mean, I think you'd really have to be content to know that that's going to happen. Do you think he still sort of watches and just goes, wouldn't have done it like that. Do you think when he was sitting in Force Awakens, you know, he sat there and he's watching, he's just going, not how I would have done it.
Surprisingly, I've never given that much thought, but I'm sure he has. I think The Force Awakens is almost as close to a perfect movie as you can get, but I have a feeling that George probably has some notes somewhere.
I'd love to do that. And I think when I had who was on a few weeks ago, I can't remember who it was now. Maybe it was King Tom or Eric or somebody. Might have been Hawes, just dropping names now. It was one of the last few guests and stuff, and just talking about his sort of legacy and his age, he's sort of getting on, and it would be good to get, the final say on things that he, the final things he has to say about Star Wars and all that kind of stuff. And he probably felt like that he's said everything he can say about the stuff that he did, because he's been doing it for so long. But it would be nice before, George leaves this earth, that even if he doesn't release it while he's alive, he just does some rambling interviews or commentary tracks over all the new Star Wars stuff. And it's just,
Yeah.
that just after he passes away, it's like George does the no holds barred, what he really thinks on everything that just comes out later on after he passes and
Or
talks
maybe
through all
he
that
says,
stuff.
release this after I pass.
Yeah, he's
Like,
just like, here,
lesson.
it's I'll do a commentary track for all the for everything that's come out, all this major stuff. I won't do I'll do the Mandalorian, I'll do Ahsoka, I'll do Andor, I'll do the Star Wars movies. I'll sit and I'll watch them and I'll talk over all of them and I'll tell you what I really think and what I would have done and what I didn't do and all this stuff, but you can't release it until after I've died because I'm going to drop some bombs.
I mean, you know he has thoughts about The Last Jedi, for sure.
absolutely. Oh, I think he's got thoughts on all of them. I honestly think that he'd probably have more thoughts on Force Awakens just because it's the pick up point, like it establishes more things of what's happened. Last Jedi's obviously got some controversial stuff, but it is still it still t picks up the story from the last one. Even like the Rise of Skywalker, if he's just like, oh, and they brought the Emperor back. Like I spent three, spent movie
You
killing
know,
him, and
I
then
have a feeling The Rise of Skywalker is his favorite one of them.
oh, really?
I don't know. I'm just, yeah, I have a feeling. I bet that's his favorite one because it's just kind of.
I would love that. I mean, I know it'll never happen. It would never happen, but it would be so cool if he, if I could do a good George Lucas impersonation. Maybe I just do a whole bunch of commentary tracks as George Lucas and just call them the unauthorized George Lucas cut, of talking over like, I would have done this. See, obviously I can't do a George straight away. It's taken it out of it. But I just like, even though he doesn't, he'll always be the authority on it. You know what I mean? Like it'll always, even if he came out and he just said, I would have done this, I would have done this, and I want to do it this way, and this is what I thought would happen. It would always feel to me that that's almost like the real version, just because he's still the guy.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the fact that he hasn't, as far as I know, let his opinions be known is actually, I don't know, maybe he has like something where he can't, but
There's
even
probably, I
Kathleen
mean,
Kennedy's
he got
got that
four
heavy
billion
sign.
dollars. There was probably some stuff in that contract of like, you
Yeah.
can't bag out the new stuff because.
But it, I mean, if you're probably like, we're probably right, he probably signed something where he can't like go nuts, but maybe he's just being gracious because he knows that there is a subsect of the fandom where whatever he says is going to be, you know, people will take that as gospel. And he doesn't want to kind of like put that out there, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, look. And
We're just speculating now.
he copped plenty of crap, and which is partially why he got rid of Star Wars, because he's like, I'm sick of. It's impossible to keep people happy. So I think he can obviously sympathize. He's like, no matter what you do, someone's going to poo-poo it, no matter how hard you try and what you do anyway. So I'm making art is hard, all that kind of stuff. But oh, it would be delicious.
Yeah, he probably has a lot in common with Taylor Swift. They
The tortured
probably
George
have a
Lu
lot
look the
to
tortured George Lucas department.
talk about. There you go.
There you go. Do that. I like the idea of a post-mortem, like it's like when David Bowie died, and David Bowie was very ill with cancer, and he recorded a record before he died and was like, this comes out the day after I die. You know, it was all, he'd set the things in place. That was the final goodbye. He'd turned his passing into an art piece of this final way to sort of send off and things. I like the idea of that. And I think you obviously have to be a very special creative person and have the weight to do, you know, I guess you could just do it and nobody would care. You know, I could just record a podcast before I die. Nobody would, it's not like it would be an event. It'd be like, maybe the people who care about you be interested to hear what you had to say. You know, you're at your funeral, like, play this at the funeral. You put it on at the end. But yeah, I think George, I'd like to see the last hurrah of George before he goes.
Yeah. It would be hard to know what he thinks and not have it affect my own opinion, I think, unfortunately, for myself, that I can't just hold my own opinions strong.
George's version?
Yeah, there you go. Star Wars George's version. Speaking of David Bowie, we just watched The Labyrinth for my first time this last October.
Oh, really?
And so good. I can't believe I've never seen it before.
Oh, yeah. It's great, isn't it? Did you feel that it was a little bit too creepy, you know, David Bowie, Jennifer Connelly, you know, looking a little too cozy, or not? No, it was all right?
You know, I guess I didn't think of that. I guess I didn't set my radar off, but maybe if I watched it under that...
Now you know.
Or did it? I don't know. It didn't register, so... Maybe that's bad on me, but
great songs, great puppets.
I think it was more, my kids were like, why are his pants like that? Great question.
Like a bloody David Bowie, show some respect. Have a look at some of this other stuff that he was wearing back in the day. My kids haven't done Labyrinth actually. They're probably just about ready. Definitely easier than Dark Crystal. Dark Crystal's a lot creepier. Have they done Dark Crystal?
I don't know if they haven't with me. I had a book on cassette of Dark Crystal when I was a kid, and I loved that thing. But I don't know if I've actually seen the actual movie. So maybe that's what we do this October.
Well, you can do that, and then you can roll into the... Because they did the Netflix series quite recently where they did the,
we
the
watched
prequel
that.
Or whatever. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. Well, Dark Crystal. But Dark Crystal is a lot more dense. It's a lot more mature. Just it's creepy.
My kid's watching Fallout, so I'm sure he can handle it.
Oh yeah, actually I forgot. I just realized. Yeah, everybody's head gets blown off in Dark Crystal, so you're probably going to be okay. Like, yeah, I think we can handle Dark Crystal, Mum. After we sat through Fallout, my kids haven't even done much Muppets. I've tried to push Muppets on them, and then I don't get. Well, they didn't really even watch Sesame Street growing up, so they've never really been big Muppets kids.
Yeah, I feel like Sesame Street's sort of fallen off the mainstream.
Do they still
or has
make...
it? I guess I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they still do.
Oh, it is still on network TV, isn't it? Huh.
Yeah, it just never really clicked with my kids. So it wasn't like I'm not going to go out watch Sesame Street by myself. You know, right. I'm a grown man. But if Sesame Street had been on, I would have happily watched it with the kids. But I always felt that was sort of like the... That was a good way to move into the Muppets and stuff. So I've tried a few times to put Muppet stuff on. Although we did Muppet Christmas Carol last Christmas, and that actually hit. So the kids like that. So that,
yeah,
maybe we can do Labyrinth. Maybe it's time.
Man, every iteration of A Christmas Carol is so good. I can't think of one I've seen that's not.
Well, I was saying...
Then you got the Albert Finney,
yep.
And Joe Alwyn, Taylor Swift's ex, is in one.
Is he?
It all comes back to Taylor Swift.
God, he's probably got a few opinions at the moment.
I think that's the only movie I've ever seen of his.
Which one is he in?
Girl. He's in some version of A Christmas Carol.
It's not
the
Muppet
one.
My
mom made me watch it.
Oh, right.
No. It's live action.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I can't keep track of these, of all this, of all this talk. Yeah, I'll try to get them more into the Muppets. I was a big Muppets kid, so you know, I'm all for that. But I was insisting that, you know, for the 50th anniversary of Star Wars, they should do the Muppet Star Wars. Like, they should remake Star Wars, like a Muppet Christmas Carol or whatever else, and do a Muppet version. I think that's prime, yeah. Perfect.
And Family Guy, so.
Yeah, but it's there, and I think when ages ago when Matt Frost was on this, we talked about that. And it's, you know, Luke's Kermit, Leia's Piggy, Han is Fuzzy, Gonzo is Darth Vader. It's, they're all there.
Leia's Piggy. I don't know if that would work for me.
Really?
I don't know.
No.
Maybe.
You came in that thing. You're braver than I thought. Like, come on. That's a pretty good Piggy, actually. Give me a call, Frank Oz.
She's okay.
She's feisty.
Yeah. Okay.
A New Hope, a New Hope Leia.
Who did you say is Han? If Luke's Kermit?
Fozzie. Yeah.
Well, wouldn't Han be Kermit if?
No. Leia's because Luke and no Luke because Kermit's very earnest, like Luke though.
It's true.
And you could have Rolf. I mean, Rolf could be Chewie. Rolf.
You know, you're the expert. You tell me.
I've already cast this thing. I'm waiting for my pitch meeting at Lucasfilm for Kathy Kennedy. I've got to find a way into that room. You know.
Yeah.
Surely somebody's thought of that. That would just be I would just love that. Like great if they do a, you know, if another Star Wars movie comes out in 77 for the 50th anniversary and all that kind of stuff. But 2027. Oh my god, that's not even that far away.
I wonder if we will live to see a Star Wars remake and how will I feel about it? Like A New Hope, but like they remake it. You know how they remake everything now.
I don't think so. I don't know whether you can do it. There must have been, talking about George's contract, there must have been a thing of like, you can't remake my movies.
Yeah.
And I think we mentioned this when I had someone else on as well, was talking about George's version. Like if he remade it. He's like, actually, when I sold Disney, I'm still allowed to remake the movies if I put my own money up. And I do
didn't
George's
version.
Didn't
we have that? It's called the special version. Edition?
Yeah, I guess so. George's other version. George's version. But he just remakes the whole movie himself with his own money. Shoots it in his backyard.
There you go.
I don't know. These are all good ideas, I think.
Hopefully I think what he finds his way to this podcast.
He does. Come on, George.
Imagine we really that. Start something.
Oh, that, that's the dream guest, isn't it? There's an email you want to get in your email box. He's just like, this is George Lucas. I heard your podcast. I would be interested in doing the George Lucas tapes. However, I'm happy to be interviewed on all subjects over, you know, a number of sessions, but obviously they'll go into the vault until one day that I'm no longer on this earth. So I'm just sitting with my laptop with these, you know, absolutely wild interviews with George Lucas where he's just telling it like it is and I can't tell anybody.
And we're all just hounding you for any little nugget.
Oh, I probably wouldn't be allowed to tell anybody. Imagine that, you know, you're talking about the notifications coming up on your phone. It's like Star Wars spelt out episode whatever, 310, George Lucas, the George Lucas interview. You're like, oh, well, he's obviously gotten somebody doing a stupid voice. Like, I'd have to get some kind of proof of life. There was no way that anybody would believe me. They're like, you've got an AI thing. You've got some sort of thing where you've got a fake George Lucas. I'd need to get a video, even if I videoed it, even if I'd have to do it in person. No one would believe me.
Well, I would believe you.
Thank you. The one person you're like, I believe him. That was the thing, because it would come out and I put it on Twitter. I'm like, oh my God, I had to sit on this for years. You know, I got to sit down and interview George. And I haven't been able to release them for ages and blah, blah, blah. I put it out and, you know, everyone's just like, you're a liar. You're full of crap. Your podcast, you know, sucks. Why would anybody go to you? And there's just one person there batting for me going, I think he's telling the truth.
I believe. Isn't that a line of K2SO? I believe you.
You're just like, someone told me to say that. Whatever it is. I believe you, I guess.
I had to.
Yeah. You had to. Thank you so much, mate. It's been too long. Obviously, it was a year ago we hung out for real life. And hopefully, if the stars align, you know, we'll be in Japan hanging out, having a great time, trying to get your kid to eat some raw octopus for lunch.
Not nervous at all.
Yeah. Sorry. I won't be, but I'll make sure I look out for everybody else and make them feel comfortable. If not, hopefully the year after and whenever it will be. But where can everybody find you to I don't think you're even on. Are you still even on social media anymore? I know we follow each other on private.
I'm like, oh no, he's going to ask me and I don't remember. I'm on X still. I never do anything on there. At Darth_Schrader.
Yes.
I'm also on Instagram. My main Instagram is Jess_of_course52. Jess of course.
Easy. God, you look good for someone who's been born in 1952.
That was my husband's basketball number in high school.
Oh, right. There you go. It would have been your, 70th. I can't even do the maths. If you'd been in 1952, you'd be in your 70s. Yeah,
don't try and do math.
Let's not do maths on the podcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Sorry if you are getting notifications and if you subscribe that there are new episodes popping up. It's just the archive going in, but obviously this will be a new episode. So amongst all of the older ones, but I couldn't not let the episodes go up if they were sitting there. There's too many good stuff. So yeah, we'll be back soon. Thank you, Jess, as always. A pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
And I'll see you in Tokyo.
Hope so.
See you later.
Bye.